This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Demanding less.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Enough people stayed home for Memorial Day that oil prices are falling. Oil is down more than $6 since Monday. It's at $127 a barrel this morning. Analysts don't have the final numbers yet, but they say over the weekend, Americans used a lot less gasoline than usual, and that could portend a significant drop in demand for the summer. The stock markets seem to like the lower price. In Europe, shares are up about 1% so far. The markets in Asia finished all over the place today. The Nikkei fell more than 1%, but most of the other markets had gains. Wall Street still has some catching up to do after last week. The Dow is at 12,548. It was up about 68 points yesterday. The S&P 500 gained 9, and the NASDAQ added 36 points. ExxonMobil holds its annual shareholders meeting today in Dallas. It'd be great fun to be a fly on the wall. Descendants of company founder John D. Rockefeller will push the company to focus on climate change. Other shareholders want Exxon to do nothing of the sort. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The first of 17 shareholder proposals takes aim at anyone who wants Exxon to do anything but make money.
It is not a charity, it is a business.
That's Steve Malloy with the Free Enterprise Action Fund.
The purpose of Exxon is to create wealth for society. It's one of our society's premier wealth creation machines.
Malloy points to Exxon's high stock price and its healthy dividends as examples of what the company should do. He says addressing global warming should not be on the company's agenda.
Investing has become politicized as various social and political activists have had a hard time getting their agendas through Congress. They've decided to hijack American corporations.
To fight back, Malloy wants to put a muzzle on so-called activists. His proposal would prevent shareholder advisory resolutions at Exxon's annual meetings. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Congress is thinking about climate change. The Senate's about to start debating a cap-and-trade program for carbon emissions. All three of the presidential candidates support this idea. Commentator Robert Reich shares his thoughts.
With John McCain now on board for a cap-and-trade system, it's a certainty that we'll have a president next year who wants to address global warming by imposing an overall cap on U.S. carbon emissions, which will drop annually. The trade part of the equation is that companies that find efficient ways to cut emissions can sell the unused portions of their permits to others. But look more closely, and you see a big difference between McCain and the Democratic candidates on how the permits are allocated. McCain's proposal would give the lion's share to companies that are now the biggest polluters. This does have some logic to it. After all, as the overall cap tightens each year, the biggest polluters face the largest challenges in cutting emissions. By contrast, Senators Obama and Clinton have both proposed allocating permits through an auction. Under this system, every company, large or small, would have to buy rights to pollute. As a result, the biggest polluters would have to pay the most, thereby providing them with the greatest incentive to cut emissions right from the start. This makes more sense. Our atmosphere belongs to all of us, and polluters should have to pay to use it. The citizens of Alaska and Alberta, Canada, get yearly dividends from the oil companies that take away their natural resources. Why shouldn't the same principle apply when industries use the biggest common resource of all? The money they pay for permits could be returned as yearly dividends to every American family. Now, it stands to reason that if polluters have to pay for the right to pollute, some of these costs might be passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices. But the yearly dividend checks would offset any price increases. So next time you hear about cap and trade, ask the all-important question, how are the permits allocated? A carbon auction gets my bid.
Robert Reich's latest book is called Super Capitalism. He has endorsed Barack Obama. Your thoughts are always welcome at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. And by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The leader of Taiwan's ruling party met with Chinese President Hu Jintao today in Beijing. This doesn't happen often. Taiwan split from the mainland in 1949, and the heads of the ruling parties haven't met since then. Now they're talking economic cooperation. Lisa Chow reports from Beijing.
This latest round of high-level meetings is part of a slow-moving process with big implications. It could eventually mean mainland Chinese would be free to visit Taiwan anytime they want. It could also mean they could fly there directly. Right now, you have to stop in Hong Kong on every leg when traveling between the mainland and Taiwan. It's a big nuisance for regular business travelers from the island. Direct flights would shorten and cheapen the ride for Taiwan investors, who have poured billions of dollars in China since the late 1980s. Chinese leaders have already expressed their support for Taiwan's proposal for direct weekend flights, and Beijing may also agree to expand the number of mainland tourists allowed to travel to the island. This is all good news for the United States. Warming relations between mainland China and U.S. ally Taiwan could remove one of Asia's biggest potential flashpoints. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Here's our real estate ad of the day. A lovely brick and stone Victorian, circa 1897, is for sale in the beautiful state of Maine. It's 14,000 square feet, has a really first-rate security system, and it's only 200 grand. It's the Somerset County Jail, and it comes with the razor wire. The county hopes somebody will buy it and turn it into an art gallery or maybe a restaurant. Perhaps call it Bread and Water. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gal. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.